Welcome to Father's House in Grantsville, Maryland. The message you're about to hear will greatly encourage your growth in the Lord. Join us as we together open the living Word.
My favorite time of day is going in the Word of God and just pulling out Jesus from the Word. So many are discouraged when they read the Bible through, especially through the Old Testament, because really the Old Testament is Jesus concealed. And in the New Testament, Jesus is revealed. But there are types and shadows of Jesus all through the Old Testament. In fact, you can almost see him everywhere. And we're going to look at even King Solomon. King Solomon, he in his Proverbs, he foretold of the ministry of Jesus. We're going to see that today. There are so many types and shadows. We began this teaching last Wednesday night, and I taught about the ram's horn. And the ram's horn comes from a dead male sheep. And that's a type of Jesus. And Abraham, when he was offering up his only son, as the Lord called it, his only son Isaac, as he had the knife lifted up, the angel spoke to him and says, do not take your son's life. And he turned and there was a ram. His horns was in the bush. He was caught in the bush. And he became the sacrificial lamb who spoke of Jesus, the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the earth. And the ram's horn was used for two things. It was used for the anointing. When they anointed kings, they poured the oil out of the ram's horn. And except for Saul, he was anointed out of a flask. But that's a different sermon altogether. The kings were anointed out of a ram's horn if they were the anointed of God. And then we saw the purpose of the ram's horn was also as a trumpet, for a trumpet blast. And when they walked around the walls of Jericho, there were seven priests carrying seven ram's horn, and they began to blow the trumpet. Roo! How many sort of heard a shofar? And it blows. And actually, it signified the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when the anointed gospel of Jesus Christ is sounded, what happens? The potential for walls to come down in our lives and walls that the enemy have erected to be broken down, bondages to be broken. However, the children of Israel were told, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, get this is key, because the walls would not have come down with just the sounding of the ram's horn by the priest. Bondages are not simply broken by just the preaching of the anointed word of God. There has to be a corresponding action. And he told the people, when you hear the sound of the ram's horn, begin to shout. And when they shout, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Now, that's the reason why we shout when we hear preaching in the house of God, because it is scriptural. You say, well, how can you prove that the ram's horn blast is the preaching of the gospel? I did last Wednesday night. Get the CD. Praise God. Hallelujah. Different sermon today. Proverbs chapter 30. And the wisest man that ever lived uttered these words. Proverbs 30 verse 18. I love Proverbs. It's good to read a proverb a day. There's 31. So you read the 31st chapter at least four times a year. The rest you read 12 times a year. Well, except for February. Let's read Proverbs 30. When you get there, say amen or look on the board. But it's good to turn because you will want to take notes. And it's good to sometimes write in your Bible. If you have a Bible that you feel is too holy to write in, get you a Bible and ask the Lord to let you write in one. Keep a holy one and then have one for a textbook. Praise God. It's okay. Lighten up. I'm corny. I know it's just corny. Proverbs 30, verse 18. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, King Solomon said. Yea, four which I know not. three things that are too wonderful for me. There's one I don't even know. Verse 19. The way of the eagle in the air. The way of the serpent upon a rock. The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. And the way of a man with his virgin or his maid. All four are types and shadows of Jesus Christ that are too wonderful. And let's look at them. Solomon said, three things too wonderful for me. The eagle in the air. The serpent upon a rock. The way of the ship in the midst or the middle of the sea. And he says, there's one I don't even understand. A man with his maid or a husband with his bride. Maybe if he only had one, he would understand it better. John, I want us to look at, first of all, number one, the way of the eagle. And this is a message you probably will want to take notes or definitely get the CD. Number one is the way of the eagle in the air. There are four Gospels. There is Matthew, there is Mark, there is Luke, and there is John. And the eagle is the Gospel of John. Might want to write that down because we are going to turn in a few minutes to the Gospel of John. The eagle is something or a creation of God that goes very high, high altitudes, but yet can fly at an amazing speed and come to the earth. The eagle is something that will be in such a high altitude that there have been pilots who have testified of being in high altitudes and seeing eagles. But yet they can soar and they can land to the earth. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, if we can have this on the board. In the beginning was the, and the Word was with, and the Word was, let's go to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now let's go to verse number 13 of the third chapter of John. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but that he came down from heaven, the eagle, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And at the time that he is writing the book of John, Jesus had already ascended back into heaven. So the eagle is John's gospel. Now you say, well, what are the other three gospels? We'll quickly look at that. Revelation chapter 4 in your Bibles. We see the four gospels around the throne room of God. Revelation chapter 4. And verse number 7, John is on the Isle of Patmos. He goes basically into the future, but he also goes up into heaven. And he sees the very throne room of God, and around the throne room of God are these four beasts. And they're crying out day and night, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And this is what these beasts look like. Now, when I read the book of Revelation for the first time, I was a teenager, and I remember thinking, God, why would you want on these weird-looking things around the throne? This reminded me of Star Trek. But he says, the first was like a lion. That is the book of Matthew. The lion is the king of the jungle, right? And the lion, we know Jesus as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And when you look at the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew, he comes from the lineage of kings, starting off with Abraham, who was a king, basically. Okay, are you still with me? He is king. Mark. It says, and the first was like a lion, and the second was like a calf. It says a calf. That is actually an ox. The calf is a young ox. So that is Mark. Mark is the gospel where you see Jesus working. The ox was used for plowing and working. And Jesus was continually plowing in the book of Mark. He was always going here and he was going there. Immediately, straightway, whatever version of the Bible you have, you see that continually in the book of Mark. Now let's read Revelation 4. Again. And the third beast, which would be Luke, had a face like a man. In the book of Luke, Jesus is referred to as Son of Man. He was Son of God in Matthew, and in Luke, he is Son of Man. He was all God, and he was all man. Are you still with me? All right. So Luke, he is Son of Man. And John, he is the eagle, which was the flying eagle that we see, the fourth beast around the throne of God. So when Solomon was writing, let's go back to Proverbs 30, he said, there are things that are too wonderful for me. He mentions the eagle, so that takes us to the book of John. How many are tracking with me so far? Okay. He says in verse number 19 of Proverbs 30, the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, and the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with his maid. The second thing we see that's too wonderful after the eagle that is in the air, taking us to the book of John, is we see the serpent upon the rock. Let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse number 14. I love this. It refers to an Old Testament, Numbers chapter 21. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, why did Moses lift up a serpent in the wilderness? Well, the children of Israel have left Egypt, and of course, Moses, I would say, would be their pastor. And they begin to rebel against God and against Moses. And they begin to say, oh, we would be better off, you know, if we hadn't come out in this wilderness. We are sick and tired of manna. Now, manna is a type of Jesus Christ. And so basically, they were saying, we're tired of Jesus. And they begin to gripe, and they begin to complain, and they begin to murmur. There is a danger when we fall into the area of not being thankful and being grateful and begin to murmur and complain and gripe and grumble. Because what happened, serpents were released, and they began to bite the Israelites. And many of them begin to die. They begin to just die one after the other. And they begin for the first time to repent. And they came to Moses and they said, Moses, intercede for us. Do something to stop these serpents from biting us and killing us. And Moses heard from God and he made out of brass a serpent and put the serpent on the pole. And they would go and they would look at the serpent on the pole. And when they did, after they were bitten, they would live. Think about this. The serpent on the pole was Jesus becoming sin for us. And when we look to Jesus, we can look and live, as the old hymn said. Look and live. Look and live. When we look to the finished work of Calvary, we can look and live. I love it. John 3:15, it goes on to say, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave. Let's read it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Glory to God. I want you to think about how much God loves you. He is this great eagle that comes down and becomes a snake, all because he loves you. And he loves me. A holy God becoming sin. And one thing that Solomon said, a snake on the rock. A snake on the rock. Jesus was on a rock on the hill called Golgotha. It was called the hill of the skull. A rock in the form of a skull. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 30 one more time. I love this verse of scripture. Verse 19. The way of the eagle in the air, the way of the serpent upon the rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea. The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. Does that sound familiar in John's gospel? A ship in the midst of the sea. Well, Jesus feeds the multitude and he sends them away and he puts his disciples in a boat and he says, go to the other side. We find this in John chapter 6. And they get out and they keep rowing and rowing and rowing, but they cannot get to the other side. The Bible says the winds was contrary. Has God ever told you to do something and the winds are contrary to get the job done? It just seems like every time you take three steps forward, something is pushing you back and trying to hinder you and trying to stop you. That was the first thing that is happening. They can't get to where God told them to go because the winds were contrary. They were trying to hinder the assignment that God placed on them, that Jesus had placed on them. And here they are. But then it gets worse because they are determined. We're going to go to the other side. Jesus said, go to the other side. And the storm become greater and greater and greater. And they're in the fourth night watch of the night. And it looks like we're never going to get to the other side. We're going to die. Trying. And here comes Jesus walking on the water. He didn't need a boat. Glory to God. I heard a joke. Somebody said if Donald Trump walked on water, the liberals would say he couldn't swim. Well, Jesus didn't walk because he couldn't swim. Anybody can swim. Jesus walked on the waters. And I want to tell you, when Jesus got in the boat, he could have just kept walking to the other side. But when he got in the boat, the winds and the waves, they ceased. You ever heard that old hymn called The Good Old Gospel Ship? I'm going to take a trip on that good old gospel ship. Now, for us that are up in age, we know that song, right? You've heard it. And for the rest of you, maybe your great-great-grandmother sang it, right? When I was a kid, I kept trying to find, where's that gospel ship at? In the Bible. Because I was always a literal. If it ain't in the Word, don't sing it. It's making, you know, I don't like religious stuff. How about you? I like word stuff. I like Bible stuff. And I kept saying, I wouldn't sing it, you know. Others would sing it, you know, and I wouldn't sing along because I can't find in my Bible a gospel ship. Well, there's one in John chapter 6. I found it this week. Jesus took a trip in the good old gospel ship. It's right in the gospel. So that's what they're singing about. Too wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go back to Proverbs 30, verse 18. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the book of John. The way of the serpent upon the rock, Jesus on the cross of Calvary. The way of the ship in the midst of the sea. Whew. the assignment that God places on our life. And it's only the gospel that's going to finish the work. And the way of a man with his maid. The way of a man with his virgin. Let's go to John. It's all in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 27. Just feel the glory on this morning. Hallelujah. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. When I feel the glory, I go, whew. So just ignore the whew. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. Who's talking? It's definitely not Jesus. It's John the Baptist. Verse 29. He, speaking of Jesus, that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, you could say John was the best man, hallelujah, which standeth in here, heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Now, we've heard it taught that we are the bride of Christ. We've heard it as, but I want us to look at something in John with Jesus on the cross. This Friday, we will be looking at the sacrifice that Jesus paid on Calvary. Let's go to the cross for just a moment before we come near the end of the message. John chapter 19, verse 34. Jesus is on the cross at Calvary. John 19, 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. The first Adam was in the garden, and God saw that he needed something more than the giraffes and the tigers. He needed more than just communing with God. Wow. And so he put Adam to sleep. He opened up his side, and he took out a rib, and he formed the woman. And he brought the wife, the bride, the virgin to Adam. They became what? One flesh. Jesus is on the cross, the last Adam. Dr. Tim, he says, don't call him the second Adam. Many call him the second Adam. He said, because if you call him the second Adam, there could be a third or fourth. Call him the last Adam. Jesus, the last Adam, is on the cross, and he has said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost, and they came by to look at the three, the two thieves and Jesus, and they broke the first thief's legs so he would soon die. They came to Jesus, and he had already given his life, and they placed the spear in his side, thus forming the bride. Ephesians 5. Do you feel special today? Ephesians 5:23. You hear some scriptures that shrews don't like. Nor Jezebels. Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Let's go down to verse 30. For we are members of his body. We are members of his flesh. We are members of his bones. I want you to think about that. We are members of Jesus' body. We are members of his flesh. We are members of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be what? One flesh. I want you to get a revelation of something here. Just as a husband and wife are one flesh. All right. It's starting to come in on you. I see it. Verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. We are one with Christ. Now, I know the feminists have changed a lot of things. My name is Sharon Colasino, but really, my name is Mrs. Timothy Colasino. Did you know that? Your name is Robin, but really your name is Mrs. Charles Arnold. Are you getting this? Debbie, your name is Debbie Thomas, but your name is also Mrs. Ronald Thomas. Come on. Are you getting this now? Debbie, your name is Debbie Clark, but your name is also Mrs. Donald Clark. Debbie, we got a lot of Debbies around here. Debbie, your name is Debbie Campbell. It used to be Debbie Watson, right? But your name is Debbie Campbell. But your name is also, tell us, Mrs. Jack Campbell. If I said Mrs. Jack Campbell, and he stood up, he would have just didn't hear the Mrs. part, right? My name is Sharon, but it's also Mrs. Jesus Christ. He has given us his name. He has given you his name. When you give somebody your name, you give them power of attorney over the name. Is there anybody here that has had power of attorney over maybe their parents or someone before? Lift your hands. Okay. Let me ask you, Brother Tim. When you signed it, was it the same as your parents signing it or not?
Yep.
It was the same. Your name, because he had power of attorney over that name. In fact, I don't know if the banks would appreciate it, but this morning my husband had surgery this week, and so he couldn't write out the tithe, his tithe check. He said, honey, could you do it for me? Sure could. I'm his wife. Don't you touch his checkbook, glory to God. Right? Because he gave me the power to do that. I want you to get this revelation. When you pray in the name of Jesus, it's the same as Jesus praying. You say, well, God won't answer my prayer. He'll answer Jesus's. No, he won't answer yours. He'll answer Jesus's. He'll answer his son. And you say, well, I'm not righteous enough to pray and believe God for this. Jesus is. We don't look. I'm not on that pole. I'm not on that cross. I didn't die. I did not become sin. He became sin that I might become righteous. So we are one with Christ. We are seated with Him in heavenly places. Get a revelation. You have power of attorney over His name. Glory to God. According to His will. Colossians chapter 1. And I'm closing with this. If I go any longer, it's going to be too late and I'll be shouting myself too happy. Glory to God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Even the mystery. It was a mystery. That's the reason why Solomon says, it's too wonderful for me. It was a mystery to him. He heard God, he pinned it down, but it was too wonderful for him to even understand. The mystery, which has been hidden from ages and from generations. Have you ever hid something from somebody else and you couldn't find it? I hid Easter eggs one time. We had about 60 eggs. We only could find about 40-something. So they said, Sharon, you hid them. Where are the rest of them? Where are they at? I couldn't even find what I hid. If I can hide eggs that I can't find, God can hide something that nobody can find. And they could see it. They could hear it. They could write it. They could pin it. But they... Solomon, it's too wonderful for me. Oh. It's been hidden for generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Think about this. What was hidden from the wisest man in the Old Testament, it's manifest to us this Sunday morning on this April the 9th, 2017, in God's Father's house. Jesus. Aren't you thankful that you can see it? Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles of all people, which is Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Lord, we praise you this morning. Huh. Where I go, you go. When I speak, you speak. When I lay hands on people, you lay hands on people. Because Christ, you are in me, the hope of glory. And when we declare the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name has been given to me. The name of Jesus that cast out devils. The name of Jesus that opens the blinded eyes. The name of Jesus that makes the withered hand straight. The name of Jesus that cures all diseases. The name of Jesus belongs to us today. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that it's not a mystery anymore, but we are one with you. We are seated with you in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, far above all principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Thank you, Lord, because of the blood of the Lamb of God, there is power. Because of the preaching of the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation. We thank you. We give you honor on this Palm Sunday. We adore you today, but we will not deny you Friday. Because you are the Lord. You are the King. You are the Master. And even as Sarah called Abraham Lord, we call you Lord. Because we're daughters of Sarah. You are Lord. You are Master. You are Savior. You are King. You are God. And we crown you King of kings and Lord of hosts. You are the Lion of Judah. Whoa, ha ha. You are the Lion of Judah. You are the ox that went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with you. You are the Son of Man. You lived a sinless, perfect life that we also can live as you lived and walk as you walked. And you are the eagle. And I thank you that when we wait upon you, our youth is renewed also as the eagles. because we are one flesh. We are one with you. In Jesus' name, we give you honor.
You've been listening to Father's House. For more information or to download today's sermon, visit us at fathershouse.info. And remember, it is written, "My house shall be called the house of prayer."